Today on The King is Coming.
Is he who he said he was? Can he do what he said he can do? Can he forgive your sins? Can he change your life? Can he transform your destiny? Can he bless you beyond your wildest expectations? And the answer of the Bible itself is yes, absolutely so. Hello, I'm Ed Heinsohn. It's been my privilege to walk us through the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament and take a look at their fulfillment in the New Testament. We've done that now 8 times, and today I'm going to summarize all of those so that you can get the complete picture for yourself. But eventually, to really see the whole thing, I want to urge you, get a copy of the Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy. It'll open up every one of them for you in great detail, that Jesus is the one who fulfills those prophecies. Nobody else ever came close to any of them. We'll take a look in a moment and see what they're all about.
The Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy is the ultimate, all-in-one resource on what the Old Testament says about Jesus. Get answers and clarity in this authoritative and reliable guide to Messianic prophecy from some of the world's foremost evangelical Old Testament scholars. Watch the scriptures come into full color as you see new meaning in familiar passages and further appreciate God's masterful handiwork in preparing the way for Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. For your gift of $75 or more to the ministry today, you will also receive a copy of our 8-part DVD series, The Messianic Prophecies. Dr. Heinsohn will unlock some of the amazing prophecies of Scripture, like the Son of Abraham, the House of David, the Suffering Savior, Is Jesus the Promised Messiah, and more. To order today, call us toll-free at 1-800-622-2767 or visit thekingiscoming.com now. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss, and out of the smoke locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions. Revelation 9. Scriptures like this from Revelation can be daunting, confusing, and difficult to understand. But as believers, we can have confidence in the future. In this 3-part series on Revelation by Dr. Ed Heinsohn, he will unpack portions of Revelation that will bring you clarity and new understanding. In part 1, he will give you keys to help you unlock your understanding of the future. In part 2, he will dig deep into what it will be like on earth during the tribulation. And in part 3, he will give you insight into the great fall of Babylon. For your donation, get this 3-part series on Revelation by calling 1-800-622-2767 or go to thekingiscoming.com. Call today.
For over 45 years, The King is Coming has been broadcasting the truths of Scripture and challenging believers to live their lives in the fullness God intended for them. Join us today and become a monthly partner. Go to thekingiscoming.com/donate. Thank you.
I hope our study on the Messianic prophecies has blessed your heart, stretched your mind, and deepened your soul in your walk with God. These are amazing predictions, over 100 of them in the Old Testament, that are literally fulfilled in the New Testament in the life and experience of Jesus of Nazareth, reminding us he's not just a good man and a great teacher, he's the promised Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, and the Son of Man at the same time. A lot of these prophecies are emphasized very, very clearly in the Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy. I want to encourage you, if you're serious about studying those prophecies and you want a resource, 1,400 pages worth, that will help you walk through every one of those prophecies, this is that resource. You say, well, Ed, why is it so important? Because first of all, Christians need to understand the biblical basis of the prophetic hope. And secondly, as you share your faith with Jewish friends or relatives, they need to know, what are the promises of the Hebrew Bible that tell me that ultimately a Messiah is actually coming? I've found in over 50 years in the ministry, you can't just walk up to the average Jewish person and say, well, Isaiah 7, virgin birth, Isaiah 53, substitutionary death, you want to become a Christian? They're going to go, huh? No, I'm not sure. You're not going to convert them in 5 seconds or 5 minutes or even in 5 days. First of all, they have to see that you really love me and care about me as an individual, whether I ever convert or not. They also need to know that you'll respect me as a human being and you'll give me a chance to look at these prophecies and ask myself, are these really about Jesus, and is he really the answer to all of these predictions? When you look at the overwhelming weight of the predictions, I think it becomes evident to both Jews and Christians alike that Jesus of Nazareth is more than just a prophet. Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one in the Old Testament. Now, we've looked at a number of those prophecies. As I mentioned in the handbook, there are over 100 of them. In our study, we've looked at least 15 of them. And I want to remind you today of what those have been. We saw in Genesis chapter 3 that when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, God promised, I'll send somebody into the human race, the seed of the woman, a human being, who will crush the head of the serpent. But as you read the rest of the Bible, it's obvious no fallen, sinful human being is ever going to defeat the power of Satan. This is going to take a divine being who steps into the human race. But the first prediction, the first glimpse of the gospel in Genesis 3:15 is somebody's coming. He doesn't tell you who. He doesn't tell you when. But he gives them that hope that they can look forward to the promised seed. Then later he makes it clear the seed passes through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the word seed is emphasized in the relationship of each one of them, that Abraham's seed is Isaac and Isaac's seed is Jacob, that the promise runs through that line of people, and that Jacob has 12 sons, and one of those, Judah, is the promised seed line, and that the king, the Messiah, will come through the line of the tribe of Judah. And then the Old Testament follows the descendants of Judah all the way down through the time of the Egyptian bondage, the Exodus, the wilderness wandering. They come into the land of Israel, they conquer the land, and ultimately they establish a king. And God raises up David to be that king who's a man after the heart of God. And David is given a promise of an eternal kingship. A house, the Bible calls it, a line of the royal descendants. You are going to have a dynasty of kings that will come from you, and I promise you, you'll never lack for a man to sit on the throne of David forever. Well, for hundreds of years, that was true. But as time marches on from the time of David in about 1000 BC, you come to the Babylonian captivity. And by 586, less than 500 years later, the line of kings is wiped out almost, held only by a thread of descendants. The king on the throne is pushed off the throne. The people of Israel are taken captive to Babylon for 70 years. And when they return to start all over again, though the line is kept alive through a man by the name of Zerubbabel, at the same time, there is no king on the throne. There is no Davidic king. When you come to the New Testament, Herod is the king. He's not from the line of David. He's not the promised one. He's an evil one who tries to destroy the son of the promise because the prophets had said the promised one will be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He'll be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. These prophecies keep narrowing the field down to only one person in all of history, a human being from the line of Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through the tribe of Judah, through the line of David and the Davidic kings. Ultimately, it comes down to a person who will be born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, who is Emmanuel, God with us. The El Gibor, the mighty God, the child that is born, is not just a human king. He's God in the flesh. He's the God-man. God is the king that will ultimately fulfill the promises. And all of that is shouted to you through the pages of the Bible itself. And then later, the prophet Zechariah will say he'll be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And indeed, Jesus was. That he will ride into town on a donkey. And indeed, Jesus did. That his hands and his feet would be pierced. You have that both in Zechariah the prophet and in the Psalms. That in his death he will atone for our sins. Isaiah 53. Not just a nation suffering for a nation, an individual suffering for the sins of the world. And then buried with criminals and with the rich. And rises from the dead. But that's sure starting to sound like Jesus. Dies between two thieves, buried in a rich man's tomb, and yet becomes our heavenly high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We've seen all of those things in our weeks of study. And when we look at all of those, that's just 15 examples. There are over 100 of them in the Messianic Handbook. Every one of them literally fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. There's nobody else like him in all of human history. Now, did Jesus himself claim to be the Messiah? Did he actually believe that he was the fulfillment of all of these things? Well, I think he makes it very clear that he did. Take your Bible and go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. This occurs after Jesus has already gone to the cross and died. After the resurrection, he appears to the disciples in this chapter. And in verse 39, he shows them his hands and his feet and says, "Touch me, see that I'm real. Do you have anything to eat?" And he eats fish and honeycomb with them. I like that verse. It implies that in a glorified, resurrected body, you can still eat. And he's trying to convince them, it's really me. And then, verse 44, he said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you before the cross, that all things must be fulfilled." Not some things, not even most things, all things. If you like to mark things in your Bible, you might circle the word all in verse 44. Your translation might say everything, same idea. Circle that. Everything must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled. And you might underline the word fulfilled. Brought to completion in me is what he's going to say. He's not saying, oh, there's some vague pictures of me in the Old Testament that sort of kind of remind you of me. No, not at all. He's saying these things that are written in the Old Testament are written about me. Everything written in the law of Moses, what we call the Pentateuch, the Torah, the five books of the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy, is about me. Everything in the prophets, what we call in the English Bible the books of history and prophecy, it's all about me. And in the Psalms or the writings, it's all about me. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, that's the threefold division of the Tanakh, of the Hebrew Scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the writings. The Torah, the Nevim, and the Ketuvim are the Hebrew terms. Jesus dares to say, if you'll search all of that, you'll discover it's ultimately pointing to me. And you might circle the word me. Now, you have every right intellectually to step back and say, Jesus, who do you think you are? You're the theme of the Torah. You're the theme of the prophets. You're the prediction. You're the theme of the Psalms that they're singing about. And Jesus' answer is yes, it's all about me. Jesus will dare to say that over and over and over in his earthly ministry. In fact, Luke begins his gospel in chapter 4 early on with Jesus going back to Nazareth, to his hometown, to the synagogue where he'd been brought up. And it says in Luke 4, verse 17, there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book, the scroll, literally unrolled it, and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and sat down and said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He's literally claiming, "I'm the fulfillment of what we call Isaiah 61, that chapter. It's all about me." Yet I've read liberal commentaries that have said, "Oh, no, no, it's not about him. It's about the prophet or some other prophet or third Isaiah or whoever." I've read other works by other people, other perspectives. "No, no, no, Jesus never really claimed to be the Messiah." Oh, yes, he did. Very, very clearly. He's claiming that right here. That's the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Then at the end of the Gospel, again, he's teaching the disciples, these are the prophecies that are about me. Now, either they are or they aren't. Either Jesus knows what he's talking about or he doesn't. Either you have an inspired New Testament that is the Word of God that makes these claims based on the inspired Old Testament, or the New Testament writers don't know what they're talking about. Now, I could understand how a non-believer might say, "I don't get it and I don't believe it." But when people who claim to be Christians come along today and want to say, "Well, I'm not sure it's really about Jesus," what are you doing? You're blinding yourself to the obvious. I don't want to stand before Jesus one day and say, "I know you said you taught your disciples, and I think either you were really a bad teacher or your disciples were really bad students because they just didn't get it right. They were just picking and grabbing things all over the place, saying that it was all about you when it wasn't. Yet all the early church fathers said it was. All the medieval Catholic theologians said it was. All the Protestant reformers said it was. All the revivalists said it was. It wasn't until about the 20th century people started to say, "No, I don't think that's it. I think that's something else," and try to dismiss it. No, I think the New Testament shouts to us that these things are a fulfillment of the predictions of the Old Testament, and that we have to take it seriously and understand Jesus himself believes that. When John the Baptist was facing death in prison, and he sent a couple of his disciples, "Go to Jesus and make sure he's really who I think he is. I think he's the Messiah. Ask him for sure." What did Jesus say? "Go back and tell John, the blind see." That never happened in the Old Testament. "The deaf hear, the lame walk, the poor have the gospel preached to them. These are the messianic signs from the book of Isaiah. Yes, I'm the Messiah. Of course I am. Look at what I'm doing. These miracles are the messianic signs." And those same miracles that convinced the disciples that he really was who he said he was were sealed by the power of his resurrection. Yes, when they watched him die on the cross, their minds were blown, their hearts were wrenched. They couldn't believe it. If he's the Savior, the Son of God, how is he dying? Why doesn't God come to his rescue? But they come to realize he's dying for us. He's dying for our sins. He's dying in our place. That's what Isaiah 53 was all about. He's crushed for our iniquities. He's pierced and bruised on our behalf. The love of God shouts to you from the cross, "I love you, I love you, I love you. I did it all for you." And you and I have to come face to face with the claims of Christ down through the corridor of time, speaking to us today. Is he who he said he was? Can he do what he said he can do? Can he forgive your sins? Can he change your life? Can he transform your destiny? Can he bless you beyond your wildest expectations And the answer of the Bible itself is yes, absolutely so. Jesus is the promised one whose life and death and resurrection fulfills the promises of the Old Testament, that he who died for our sins comes back to life and gives himself on our behalf. Think of the uniqueness of Jesus. He claims that he himself is the Son of Man. He uses that term over and over and over, right out of the book of Daniel. Because in the book of Daniel, Son of Man is a term for the one that's coming in the future, the Savior that's coming, the King that is coming, fully human. And yet he also claims to be the Son of God, fully divine. Now what is it, human or divine, half and half? No, the New Testament, I think, makes it very clear. He's 100% man, fully human, and 100% God, fully divine. He is the God-man. In him, we see God the Father on display. When one of the disciples will say to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." What did Jesus say? "Have you been with me so long, you don't realize that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father?" Why? Because I and the Father are one. The triunity of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. At the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit descends on him. The Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And you get that kind of thing over and over again throughout the New Testament. Jesus is the Son of Man, but he's also the Son of God. And he did messianic miracles. The very things the prophet said the Messiah would do, Jesus did. Jesus heals two blind men in Jerusalem, inside the city walls. He heals a blind man at the Pool of Siloam. But he also healed a lame man at the Pool of Bethesda. Because in the Old Testament, when David was trying to conquer Jerusalem to make it his capital, the Jebusites, who originally held the city, laughed at him and said, "He'll never get in here. Even the blind and the lame could keep you out." And David said, "Then I'll throw both of them out." Jesus comes to a blind man and a lame man and gives them sight and the gift of walking. He's in Jerusalem because he's the Son of David, the one who can not only get rid of the blind and the lame, not by excluding them, by healing them and including them. And finally, I think it's pretty obvious. He fulfilled the messianic prophecies, over 100 of them. The chances of anybody doing that by coincidence are quadrillions beyond quadrillions. It's mathematically impossible to calculate it. It's like one to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of zeros. But Jesus fulfilled all of them. And he died and he rose again. And the resurrection was so powerful, so real, so complete, that those who witnessed it were changed forever. Fearful disciples were suddenly transformed. They'd seen the risen Christ. They ran out of the upper room, shouting that Jesus is alive. They've seen the Savior. They're empowered by the Spirit of God. And it's that message of the gospel that has resonated down through nearly two millennia of time, reminding us of the love of God, of the grace of God, of the gift of God, that all those that would put their faith and trust in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, would be forgiven and saved and have a gift of eternal life. Jesus said, "If you know me, I'll give you the gift of eternal life forever and ever and ever." Broad is the road that leads to hell and destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life and to heaven. But all those that will come by faith are welcome to come, because through the blood of Christ, we can approach the throne of God boldly, confidently, in the name of the Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ.
For many people, the book of Revelation is intimidating. In Understanding Revelation in 1 Hour, a world prophetic ministry bestseller, Dr. Heinzen presents a thorough outline of the book of Revelation in just 1 hour. For your gift of $25 or more today, you will receive a book DVD set of Understanding Revelation in 1 hour. Be encouraged as you follow Dr. Heinzen's breakdown into 7 easy-to-understand sections and let him walk you through the message of the Bible's final book. Order your copy today. Have you ever wondered how the world will end? What will it look like? Will you be a part of it? Is it coming soon? In his book, Revelation, How It All Ends, Dr. Heinzen will give you invaluable insight into the end times. He pulls back the curtain of time to bring to life all the prophecies of the book of Revelation. To order your copy for a requested donation amount, call The King is Coming today or go online to thekingiscoming.com. The instantaneous mass disappearance of millions of people around the world will occur in an event known as the Rapture. Amazing prophecies of things to come, an exhaustive 3-part study by Dr. Ed Heinzen, gives a clear preview of what God promised he will do in the last days. In part 1, we will look at the coming world leader, the apostate church, the rise of globalism, and the nuclear threat. We will take a close look in part 2 at the rebirth of Israel, the conversion of the Jews, the rise of the beast, and the fall of Babylon. And in part 3, we will study the marriage of the Lamb, the triumphal return, the binding of Satan, and the New Jerusalem. Get this insightful 3-part book set for a gift of only $25, or receive this study on DVD for a gift of only $40. Order today and receive the entire 3-part set, both in print and on DVD, for a gift of only $75. In these uncertain times, you don't want to miss this offer. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Despite today's hardships, the Bible promises a glorious new era is approaching. God's plan for what's ahead includes our rapture, our rewards, our participation in Jesus' triumphal return, and our eternal glory in heaven. As a believer, you can trust that a wonderful future awaits you. Written with attention to biblical details, Christ-minded wisdom, and a gracious compassion for our all-too-human tendency to be absorbed with the here and now, Future Glory will take you on an incredible journey into your prophetic future and the everlasting destiny God has prepared for you. Order now, and for your gift of only $25, we will send you a copy of Dr. Heinzen's book, Future Glory. For a gift of $60, you will receive our 7-part DVD series, Future Glory. And for a gift of $75 or more, you will receive both the book and DVD set. To order today, call us toll-free at 1-800-622-2767 or visit thekingiscoming.com now.
For over 45 years, The King is Coming has been broadcasting the truths of Scripture and challenging believers to live their lives in the fullness God intended for them. Join us today and become a monthly partner. Go to thekingiscoming.com/donate. Thank you.
World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.